I do have the chat here. I don't see it in Restream. I'm using Restream to stream this on LinkedIn, but the video will be on LinkedIn. And I believe I'll also get a recording of this afterwards. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We have quite a few things to cover. I have a slide to go ahead and share with y'all. And also I'll have like a live example of how to do it as a trader. This is ideal for anyone that wants to understand how programmatic traders make decisions when it comes to supply partners. Okay. Hold up. What just happened? Okay, cool. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. If you're just now joining, welcome, welcome. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to go in presenting mode here, and then I'm going to share this. Presenter view. There you go. And then we can get started with this part. Is that it? Okie dokie. All righty, righto. Hope everybody is having a fine Thursday. Happy Friday, Junior. First of all, happy Friday, Junior. It's a lovely day here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is where I'm located. But it's all fake because it looks super sunny, but we're in the, 30s, I believe, or 50s. Oops, maybe it is sunny. Maybe it's warmer than I thought, but usually, yesterday was really sunny, but really cold. So it was all fake. For us, but we're going to talk about supply path optimization. This is a free training. If you are on the sell side, if you are a partner that would love to sponsor future training so that we can bring some of those free training more often, maybe on a weekly basis, monthly basis, twice a month, you name it, contact me. I would love to talk to you and help the people. If not, welcome, welcome again. So let's get into it. Okay, oops, my bad, y'all. Okay, so welcome to the Reach and Frequency. This is sponsored today or offered, brought to you by the Reach and Frequency. We're actually celebrating our second year anniversary today. It's been super dope the last 2 years. The first module launched February 22nd, 2022. And it's been really cool. So we have 7 modules and we teach people how to start and grow in a career in programmatic advertising. In a few minutes, I'm going to go over what our consulting agency does, what I'm here for, but we'll hop right into what to expect from this training and how to keep working with me if you're interested, or how to keep following my content if you keep where you want to stay in touch. Okay, so this is definitely a training for programmatic traders, buyers, anybody in ad ops working with ad servers, AMs as if account managers, account directors, things like that, PMs, project managers, obviously working for programmatic teams, and then any sales. And I actually didn't add here product teams. But I've had product marketing teams in programmatic and ad tech join some of my training or hire us to do their training. So why are you here? You know, what's going on? Why are you here? Well, we're probably seeking to understand what the heck is SPO from a buy side perspective and how to create something. How to create it, but also like how to get started. So I'll have a couple guides for you. You can take a screenshot. Again, you can DM me right now on LinkedIn and tell me, like, send me the deck or send me whatever guide you need, or drop it in a comment, okay? Which the comments I'm not seeing, but, oh, I see it on my phone. Okay, perfect. So with that said, let's get into the how, which is optimizing sites, sellers, SSPs, and create your supply pipeline. So you'll get to see... you'll get to understand why I do what I do, which is, wait, I'm sorry, girl. I feel like this is real low, real low. This is real slow. Okay, cool. So what to expect from here? Well, simply high energy. Like, this is just me. If you were just trying to eat your lunch and, you know, maybe you're by yourself in the office or working remote and you just want a friend to talk, Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Ellen. I'm super high energy. I'm going to define a few things for us because in this industry, we love to use things interchangeably. And then everybody gets confused about why certain things are happening because we don't have a common understanding of that particular thing. So we're going to define it. You're going to have actionable insights. So I'm going to expect you to go take this knowledge and implement it in your home work or home professional work, I meant to say. I'm gonna have shameless plug because it is what it is. This is what we do, and we love to work with people like you. We will have a live Q&A. So again, if you have questions, drop it in the comments. I'll monitor it on my phone. And also, if anybody knows me, just you know how to reach me if there's any technical errors. Hopefully everything sounds great. I don't see anybody in the comment telling me. Okay, I don't see anybody in the comment telling me, Okay, perfect. And then some memes and some QR codes, okay? Because why? Because Coinbase actually normalized it a few years ago. So our mission is to teach historically executed people how to start and grow in a career in programmatic advertising. We do so by providing on-demand lessons, like a dope community, a live group coaching with me. I mean, you name it. We have a podcast that comes out every week. We are here to really share that knowledge and highlight diversity. The reason why I started working for myself and building this consulting, this educational institute, it's because I was just tired of being the only Black girl at almost all of the ad agency, or one of the only, right? Or one of the few, or one of the none. So I started working for myself, and I was like, every time I'm going to work with somebody, I'm going to be intentional. But whoever can work with me, they're going to understand that they're empowered, they can be inspired, and they deserve to be here. With that being said, this is what we do. We can train on anything programmatic activation. Think of programmatic trader, maybe. Think of your programmatic traders. Think of your ad ops team. We work really closely with agency trading desks. We had an agency trading desk last quarter. Right now, we're working with an agency that's very specific to political and streaming and CTV. And so we spend time with y'all for about 2 to 3 months on a weekly basis, and we assess operational concerns, any performance challenges. And then we focus also on like cross communication between the departments, you know, when the AM teams don't always communicate what traders are trying to say. So we help assess this problem, but also we help like increase revenue, because if we're able to nurture our clients and perform for them, then they will want to keep increasing their spends. Okay. And so that's the whole thing. So we have a lot of expertise is different in different platform. And that's why we are going to go over some of those guidelines that I've built over the last couple of years, especially on the case of SPO. So basically what we do is basically this, like we have a 12 weeks plus program. I mean, 12 weeks, what? 12 weeks plus workshops with those ad agencies, with the in-house branding. We did work for the in-house branding last summer. And we did something similar, and all of our training are customizable. But again, if you are like, listen, my ad agency is not there yet, introduce them to me. I can tell them, I can help them get there. But if you're just an individual really trying to level up with almost no support, I got you. We have a lot of ways for you to get that support. So again, just being here, following me on LinkedIn is a good start. Scan that QR code. You'll have access to other ways to follow me, to get in contact with me, to get some of those free trainings delivered to your inbox. Anyway, so who am I? Who am I? I'm Ellen Parker. The H is silent because my first language is French. I was born and raised in Senegal, which is a small West African country, and we were colonized by the French. That is why the official language is French. But there's a ton of other dialect or secondary languages. One of them is Wolof, and I speak and understand Wolof. I don't know how to write it. My origins are from Lebanon and Cape Verde, which is a Portuguese island right across outside of Senegal. So if y'all aren't familiar with Senegal, Cape Verde, and Lebanon, Google it for me. Look up something, a fun fact, and let me know if you ever want to try our food. We'd love to discuss about how beautiful our cultures is. But that's who I am. And that's why I understand and can speak multiple, a few more languages than just English and French. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a friend. I have over 12 years, pretty sure it's a little bit more at this point, but I have over 12 years in digital advertising. What I mean by that is that I started in programmatic, and then, you know, when you're working for an agency, you got to pivot yourself into different things and wear those multiple hats. I'm thankful for the multiple hats because I did learn a lot, but just so you know, programmatic activation is where I really thrive. And so I went from being a trader, accidentally a trader, into like leading that team, planner, and then moving to another state, leading another team, building up. But in all of my roles, I've always ended up enjoying more the activation, like the training behind the activation. Like, oh, why are we doing this? This is how we do it well. This is how we can build it efficiently, okay? And I founded the course, which is the Reach and Frequency. Again, happy anniversary to us. It's 2 years. And then I have the podcast, okay? So you are here because you're probably feeling several type of this, right? There's a lot going on in this industry, y'all. Like Privacy Sandbox, and then the IAB Tech Lab, and then CMA in UK is telling, and then now there is something called MFA, and now there is, things happening at home, and now my toddler is sick, and now I got to take there's a lot going on. So everyone here on this call, I want to commend you. You're doing your best, and I recognize this. This is why I want to also let you know that it's a safe space. So take a breather and affirm this. I deserve to be happy. I'm in control of my day, okay? At least the things I can control. I deserve to take care of my family. I deserve to be and thrive in an environment of success. This is one of them, so congrats for even showing up or rewatching. I'm worthy and capable to achieve the success coming my way, whether it's professionally or personally. I deserve to be paid well to live the life I want. And I'm giving back to those around me. So one of the first assignments of this presentation is that whatever you learn today, share about it. Yes, it's going to help my business if you talk about how well or what you liked or didn't even like during the presentation. Yes. But ultimately, my goal is to be contagious about how we share knowledge. Okay. So if you learn one thing today, teach somebody else, whether it's, again, on socials or just in your Slack channel or just in an email to your boss or to your team. Okay. So let's get into it. All right. So far, so good. Everybody's good. Let me check the comments and let me get a sip of water. Okay. I see some comments about, I see some comments about, would the video be on YouTube? I think so. I selected YouTube, yo. Hey from New York. Hey from Raleigh. Hey from California. Hey from New York. I just said that, sorry. And then, yes, I can send you the deck. So I'll make sure to review all the comments after that. So now let's review our, okay, so we have about 30 minutes left, okay? So I'm going to get through some of this information, and then I'm going to hop into the example that I wanted to show you. It's like, I actually have a report for y'all, okay? Let me see. What I'm doing is that I'm trying to make sure to remove those little sticker. Is it this? Is it caption? Okay, cool. Okay, so, and then let me see the chat. The chat is still not showing for me in Restream. I don't know. That's cool. The devil is a lie. We're going to have a nice thing. All right, cool. SPO. What does that mean? Okay. So every time I hear SPAOA, y'all know, if you have some 80s and 90s babies, you probably know what I'm referring to, okay? If not, Google it, y'all. Please Google it, because it's a great sound. But before you can even understand what the heck is SPO, Supply Path Optimization, you gotta understand the source. And the only way to understand why we got here is because we got to follow the money first. Ultimately, SPO started on the sell side. And if there's publishers in the house, please say, hey, oh, no, I'm kidding. Please let me know also your thoughts on SPO. But originally, or should I say, the first time we heard of SPO, at least, it was because publishers wanted to understand why they were making coins when some of their intermediaries, are making big bucks, right? And so I just came across, actually, I was building this from scratch, and I came across this LinkedIn newsletter from Lab Talks Weekly. No, I think it's the new newsletter is called Lab Talks Weekly, and you can scan it and then follow them and see this article. But basically, they're explaining about how publishers pay several taxes on their profit. I don't know if you've ever heard Shiv or the team at View of Digital, but they explain this as like a tech tax. So the advertisers has a budget, they buy some of that, but goes to a DSP. If you're using third-party data, even first-party data or any other tech, it goes to them. A little something goes to those ad exchanges, and then a little something goes to the ad servers plus the SSPs, and then the publisher gets almost nothing, okay? So out of that dollar that we spend as an advertiser, I think the publisher gets less than like maybe 40 cents to even 20 cents in some cases because of the taxes that they have to pay, okay? So SPO started with the publisher looking to really assess which partnership they're going to have to really cut down on those multiple partnership or the being able to, I mean, to get a little bit more coins. Like, come on, right? So from a buy-side perspective, I would say this is how we define. So y'all know we love to define things in our industry. So here's a couple definitions I thought was pretty great based on everything I've seen. This is how some of the industry defines SPO. So I'm going to read it from the slide. SPO is a means of identifying the most efficient supply path from the buyer, the DSP or agency trading desk, to their most valuable exclusive inventory, depending on the specific advertisers or campaign's objective. That's a mouthful, right? So that was a definition from GeoEdge. Here's another one from Nativo, and I thought it was pretty, it's a little bit more simplified. SPO is about simplifying the supply chain between advertisers and publishers by cutting out unneeded intermediaries and reducing redundancies. Anyway, I speak a few language, guys. Give me a break, okay? But you get what I'm saying. So I thought those two were really great, and this is pulled directly copy-pasted from their website, okay? But here's the thing. I believe that if you are not able to explain it to a 4 or 5-year-old, you don't understand it well enough. So I asked ChatGPT to help me out. So this is the definition that ChatGPT helped me. Meet my coworker, the reason why we are doing what we're doing every day, her and her brother now, Jade. She is a really important coworker, a partner in this at least consulting business that I have. And so I told Jade, I was like, so Jade, imagine if you have a toy. You want to give it to your friend Edith from school. Supply path optimization is like finding the fastest and best way to give the toy to your friend Edith, okay? Instead of going through many people, so like give it to my mom, to her mom, to give it to her dad, to give it to Edith's dad, to give it to the teacher, it's like picking the fastest route to make sure your friend is happy and you don't waste time. So we use special tools, okay, to help us decide the best way. Just like how you choose the best way to share your toys, we choose the best way to share ads to everyone so everyone is happy. And so I want to highlight a point that is we use special tools. So creating an SPO pipeline is creating that toolbox, okay? So hang tight on that analogy because we'll cover it a little bit more during our practice example here. So I talked to Jade, but she won't buy that. She remained diplomatic and polite and kept a smile. But she was like, okay, and ran on to whatever, right? But she understand the concept of ads because she watched YouTube, okay? So that's that. So we got to simplify SPO. So again, it's fasting, like is finding that fastest way to get there more at the most cost efficient. And that includes all of those multiple people in the middle, because going back to, again, that first image, which is this one, like, how do we make sure that we kind of, you know, divide and conquer, right? Remove, rather, that's the proper word. So let's get back into it. So why is it important? Well, because, again, as a trader, you got, your role is to make sure that whatever you're running in the DSP, you gotta make sure that it makes sense for your clients. You gotta understand your objectives. You gotta understand where are they serving. Okay, not to shame Meta, but one of the reasons why I'm so against the audience network in Meta is because we don't know what's going on. We don't know. You don't know. And that's scary AF, excuse my French, okay? So we're not going to be like this, because in programmatic, the platform we use gives us some level of transparency. I don't care if you're using the Trade Desk, Stack It App, since they're in the house, hello, DV360, Adelphic, Adlib. I don't care who you're using. You should have a certain level of transparency. And that means, and I'm going to show you what transparency looked like in those reports. So streamlining the path from advertisers to publisher, okay? Eliminating unnecessary middlemen, like cutting the middlemen's. There's a lot of those middlemen's right now. But not cutting them out just because, but making sure that it makes sense too, because obviously in some instances, we still need SSPs. We need ad exchanges and things like that. So making sense of what you have in front of you. Choose the most direct and cost-effective route. Okay, for many reasons, for viewability reasons, for brand safety reasons, for brand suitability reasons, okay? And then you gotta be intentional about your partnership, okay? Because of diversity, equity, inclusion, representation, period. Very often, may I just remind you, just a few months ago, Rob Beeler and the Beeler Tech team wrote a blog about it, about how from a publisher perspective, there are written out already because some keywords are being blocked at the DSP level, okay? And so what does that mean? It means that if you have a universal block list that your DSP is asking you to add, good, trust but verified. There has been instances where, shout out to Aisha White, she was on the podcast, not too long ago, fairly recently, if you type Programmatic Digest podcast interview with Aisha White, she was talking about diversity in our and how we do things as a trader, as a buyer. And she even shared that sometimes she'll review those universal lists and see words that were excluded, such as Black. I'm Black. I represent Black people. Black, queer, news, Palestine. Like, first of all, that's not okay. So that's one of that's another reason why you need to take care of this sooner rather than later. Okay. So when I say need to take care of it, I'm talking about SPO. SPO aims to cut cost, reduce delays or latency, and improve campaign performance by selecting the most efficient path to a dynamic programmatic ecosystem. Okay, that was just me fluffing it in a little bit. Joining the sustainability movement to a cleaner programmatic industry. Yes, the less bids in the ecosystem, the more sustainable, basically. What do I mean by that? So take a look at this example. I'm not seeing any questions, but feel free to send any question if you need to, okay? Let me make sure, because again, it's just telling me. Okay, cool. This is a report pulled from, I believe this one is the Trade Desk. Yes. And so the sites are highlighted in blue, right? So for instance, the example I have my FitnessPal, I have Spotify, I have LightNovelPub.com. And so you see that all those SSPs, that means that this site has multiple partnership with those SSPs, okay? And that means that you can buy MyFitnessPal via Magnite, but also OpenX, but also Yahoo Exchange. That's a lot. Every time somebody that wants to, let's say an audience is logging to myfitnesspal.com, whether it's the app or the website, the bid goes four times for the example that you have in front of it. So wait, one, two, three, four. Yeah. So the bid goes four times. And each of those times, whether you win or not, is still a bid. So that's where, when you hear like a cleanness path, supply path, or where you hear Scope 3 or Good Apple talk about, you know, sustainable programmatic, that is, how do we reduce the amount of time a bid has to go through for that one website, but for that, or for that one audience, right? But yo, don't be mad at those websites. Don't be mad at myfitnesspal.com. They are just trying to monetize in every way they can because of those tech tacks. Going back again to that Black example, they are really, their hands are tied. They are trying to monetize their website. If I'm getting 20 cents off of every deals, I need a lot of deals. I need a lot of bids to go out. And so that's how all of those, this duplication in the auction happens, or in the partnership happens from the publisher side. And so what you want to understand is, oh, Biscuit, of course this is not working. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. So let me see if the next one is working. Oh, Biscuit, it's not working. Okay. So these, I actually am very sad because I took a screenshot of a Colossus SSP to give y'all an example. So when you talk about SPO, you got to understand the triple S. The first one is the SSP. So in this image that is not showing, I apologize. In the PowerPoint that you request, it will. But in this image, it was the Colossal logo that's not showing again. So the SSP represents the Colossal. So the Colossal works with a seller. And this example here that I had used is She Media. She Media is a seller. Okay. And then the site was a screenshot of all of She Media's sites or partners that they have, including Motherly, including a bunch of them. So what's the difference? Why do we need to understand is that when you are building your or creating that supply tool, that toolbox of supply partners, you need to understand which SSPs to reach out to for what, which sellers to go to directly, or which site you want included and which site you don't want inclusion for. Okay, so that's the biggest thing. So a seller is the entity. So She Media owns several sites, well, owns or partners with those sites to help them monetize. And then She Media works with a few SSPs, which one of them is Colossus SSP, which is one of the only minority SSP that we have, at least in the North America. Okay, so understanding the triple S, which is, again, SSP, seller, and site, is really important because it's all connected. The site represents the digital space where the ads are displayed. The seller utilized the SSP to efficiently manage the sale of that inventory. And then the SSP acts as a bridge between the DSP, the buy side, and then the sell side. So just a quick review. So what does it look like? When you see, again, this is I'm pretty sure this is still the tree desk, but most DSPs should be able to give you the site, the corresponding seller, and then the corresponding supplier. Okay, so like News Corp only has, for instance, well, News Corp may have more, but in our instances, we only bid on Wall Street Journal, WSJ, BBC. Okay, and so why is it important again? It's because you want to be able to reach out to these people directly. Like if She Media is referring 30% of the conversions within their site, like you want to reach out to She Media and be like, yo, She Media, you're doing great. How can we expand this? If let's say OpenX, which is an SSP, is a referring site from the seller, I think Raptive. And within those Raptive, you have maybe 40% of those sites that are not performing well from a conversion standpoint, from a campaign performance standpoint. You want to reach out to Raptive and be like, what's up? What's going on? Why is this happening? I gave you my money back because this is not going to be this for the birds, right? And so that's that's how you're going to build your toolbox, straight up. You're not going to, this is how we're going to build our toolbox. So let's get into how to optimize for your supply path. I'm gonna give you all a quick look of what it takes to optimize from a trader's perspective. If you're a trader and you don't have that checklist, take a screenshot. Take a screenshot right now, because this is a checklist you should do every time you optimize. Optimizing means looking at your report, that Excel sheet, that visual, you know, that sexy dashboard, and pulling insight that one you can tell stakeholders about, and then making changes back into that DSP and adjusting based on what you're trying to do. So understanding what you're doing for your clients is important. Understanding campaign objectives and KPIs. I also recommend to QA your setup first, because many times I talk to juniors and seniors and ask them like, okay, well, I see what you're doing here, but what's the message? I don't remember, let me check. Okay, what is the conversion, the main conversion landing page? I can't remember, let me check. No, if you conduct a QA, a quick QA of all of those little details, you're much more efficient when you do your optimization. Okay, and the next, just so you know, the next training is going to be optimizing in 15 minutes or less, and I'm going to review this checklist in details. Okay, so these are just checklists. If you have a screenshot of that, that's great. Now I'm going to move on to the next one. Now we have the optimization grid. Again, these two are super important, and this is how I tell every trader how to get started. So, like, first you got to go through your checklist, and then you, one of those four, I think is the fifth step, you get to the optimization grid. If you have a click-based campaign and you don't know where to start, then you can focus on click-based campaign and start with ad format and focusing on high performance. And then starting making decisions from that. Ellen, I have 12 ad groups within this campaign. How do I start? Which ad group has the lowest performance based on that KPI? Which ad group has the highest performance? Start there. Why the highest? Even though it's doing great, because you don't want to change what's not broken. Because I want to understand why it's doing so great. Maybe I need to implement whatever I have in the highest ad group, highest performing ad group, into the lowest performing ad group. Okay? So that's that. And then I also introduce a concept called probation that we won't have time to look into today, but I'm happy to do it on the next one, on the optimization one, which is, again, as soon as a sponsor steps up. So who needs help building the supply toolbox? Let me know if you need help building the supply toolbox. We have about 10 minutes left of the presentation, by the way. It's not a lot left. So let me know if you need help while I sip a little bit of my water. This is also a good take a minute to go ahead and hydrate. Okay. So we covered, now we understand. I'm pulling up the information here let me put this small one. How am I going to do this so y'all don't see my whole entire life? Okay, well, I need both of these. Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm just going to do this. Okay, so I'm about to share my screen right now, but I think it's important to recap. SPO is supply path optimization, yes, but what does it mean? It means how do we find a fastest way to do what we're supposed to do at the most efficient. Right now, we're going through several stops before getting where we're supposed to get. It's not sustainable. It's not good for our planet. And then sometimes it can be costly. We've created this industry that way. So you're in the right space. Oh man, I didn't know this was happening. How do I fix it? I'm going to show you right now. But give yourself grace, because this is how the industry is still operating today. And when you hear this, don't go excluding all your SSPs and ad exchanges. This is not what I'm recommending. What I'm recommending is that you work with those specific partners, including the SSPs, the ad exchanges, direct or programmatic deals or PMPs or whatever it is, that you work with them and that you expand that relationship. Dr. Fu said you don't need to target all 100 and some SSPs no more. You can do really well with a handful of, you know, the top 5 SSPs. But in order for you to make that decision, you got to do this. So let's see. Let me share Let's start with, let's start with this one first. So we're going to look at, let me make sure that nothing is, okay, perfecto. Hold on, guys. I just got to make sure that I've blocked all sensitive information. I mean, I've literally scrubbed this multiple times. So, perfect. Okay, perfect. All right, so let me go ahead and share my screen. So this report that you're seeing is from the trade desk, okay? Because I had some DV360 and I had some in from DV360, I already said, CM360 and Simplify, but we're just going to go over this report for the sake of time. The concept is exactly the same. So let me make sure. Okay, you guys see the Excel. All right, it's probably going to be really tiny, y'all, but bear with me. Let me just do this right here. Okay. All right, so as a trader, this is what we have access to. We have access to, for instance, again, going back to the traders, because I'm a big fan of what they're doing in the industry and how accessible and how like user-friendly to some extent the platform is, but also how transparent they are. And so that's why. Now, if you're from another DSP, please, doesn't mean that your other DSPs are not a good option. It's just this particular example is pulled from the trade desk, okay? It was pulled like many, many blue moons ago. I don't even know which year is this one, but I just keep it for training purposes. What you have in front of you is the supply and seller report, I believe, okay? If you're using the trade desk and you don't know where to start in terms of all of those really nice templates, I always recommend to start with the initial insight pivot report, which also have a tab for inventory. The only thing is that when you are downloading these templates, you may have to manually add, the seller? I think I pulled the wrong one. Let me see. Okay, yeah, the seller name. So it's a dimension that you have to pull. So for instance, for this example, I already pivoted in the seller's name. So let's say you started. So you just pulled your report. Let's say, I don't think there's any conversion pulled because I wanted to just use this for, oh no, there's conversion. Okay, let's say for this example, we need a conversion. Let's use the column I. We're based on that conversion. It's an action. And so this is how we're going to make our decision. So the higher the action, the count, and of course, the lower the CPA, the better. So you have to understand what you're doing. And so for the sake of this example, again, I'm just going to use column I as a decision makers. But for all my friends out there, use your KPI. If it's CPM, if it's CTR, if it's awareness-based, use that main KPI and use additional dimension or metrics to help you make a better decision. Okay. All right, so column I is what we're looking at. So the first thing I want to do is that I'm going to pretty much look at, I'm going to filter based to that one tactics, okay? And then I'm going to reorganize my table. I'm going to make sure that all of my impressions, I mean, the highest impression counts are always on top because I want to see who is getting the bulk of my, it's still thinking who's getting the bulk of my dollars. And so that's going to be descending. Okay, cool. All right. So what I did was simply just filter the top impression on the top, okay? Why? Because I want to know who's getting all of my money. Most likely, most impression will probably have most of the money, okay? So this is my column D is my cost. Why do I want to know that? Well, because if I'm spending all this money in those sites first, I want to be able to see some result. For the sake of this example, I mentioned that my main KPI was column I, which is conversion count, because I don't remember if I added a CPA. So for the sake of time, I'm just going to go ahead and look at that. Okay, so now I see that, Mail Yahoo has 31 conversions. Yahoo.com has 31 conversions. So obviously these two could be combined in your report. And what I mean by that is that when you're writing your report and you want to step away from saying, my average CPM is this, blah, blah, blah. No, you can just slap a table and show it. But the type of insight that you're pulling here, as I'm showing you too, would be looking for trends based on your results. So for instance, I see that Yahoo.com is working really well. It has, the bulk of the conversion, the bulk of the cost, I mean, the spend, and then it has a great awareness. So obviously Yahoo.com is great. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and highlight it in green as soon as my computer catch up. Okay, once I highlight in green, I continue. So eBay's Nest, Microsoft Casual, Games.com, Fox News, MSN, Mail Yahoo, TheSun.com, Weather.com. Okay, let me just stop there. That was top 10. Approximately like the first 10 to 15 sites. What's the trend? News related. It's news related. My audience, which is a D2C audience, direct to consumer audience, so it's an e-commerce brand. My audience is reading news. That's it. That's the plainest insight you can already pull without even digging too much. Okay, so that's what I'm going to write down in my note taking. I'm going to be like, it looks like news-like content has the highest conversion count. And then don't put conversion. I always tell my students, like, if I see the word conversion, it's like you haven't written that. Like, you have to spell it out. So if the conversion here is like, for the example of e-commerce, let's say it's a purchase of a baby product or the latest baby product, or like the Mother's Day. Let's say Mother's Day is coming in May, like Mother's Day product, a special bundle, then you'll say our audience, okay? And you have to name the audience, but the audience that is performing the highest and purchasing most of our Mother's Day bundle are most likely reading news-like content. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you build it up. So you can start with a template and say, this audience converting highest on news-like, and then replace those keywords. And that's how you build an insight, by the way. Okay, that's a really short, quick way to start building substantial insight for your reports. Okay, so now I see that, and then I'm going to keep looking. So I'm looking down, it's like Realtor Yahoo, again, New York Post, SI.com, I'm not too sure about, but at this point, this is what I'm going to do. So I know that these have the highest conversion count. I mean, have the highest impression. Okay. So with the highest impression, I'm going to just bold it up for me. And you'll understand why. You'll understand why in a second. Now I'm going to use my filter and then I'm going to adjust it back to the conversion because that's my KPI. And so all of these are, performing fairly well. So I'm going to stop at 4, let's say. And then I'm going to highlight these. Oops, let me see time. Okay, we're almost done here. Honestly, it's going to be quick after I go through this first thing. So I'm going to hide it in light green. Okay, now I know that the sites that are bolded and in green are highest impression count and highest conversion count. Okay, now I'm going to highlight the ones that have the last thing I'm going to do is the cost. So let's recap really quick. I started with the impression. Why? I wanted to see like, okay, who, where's the awareness? Where are my people spending time? Where is the impression winning? Like how the auction doing, how competitive we are. Okay. And then I looked at my KPI, which is the conversion. If the KPI CTR, look at the CTR column first. So right now we're looking at the KPI, which is the good conversion. And then the third thing to help you make decision really quickly, at least, is the cost. How much am I spending on all these people, all of that? So anything below $20, I'm just gonna remove it. But I'm now gonna change the fun color to this color. Okay. I'm not frozen, just my computer is slow. Why am I changing colors? One, because colors are fun, okay, y'all? But also, like, when I'm going to start pivoting in, like, the supply path, the SSPs and the sellers, it's going to be super easy for you to pinpoint some of these information, right? And so anything below is like anything below that impression threshold, maybe they just need a little bit more time, right, to gather their stuff and like to perform. So I'm kind of not going to look at it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm just not going to look at it just for this particular training. So anything in orange are my top of the top. That means my highest impression count, highest conversion count, which is my KPI, and the most spent, the most dollars is being spent in that. Now, what I would have recommended is adding the CPA and seeing cost per, but you can calculate that on your own. And if you have a high CPA, that's how you make decisions based on that. So now that I know these and I've, you know, colored and beautified my data, what I'm gonna do is that I'm gonna pop in the, was it seller name? I'm gonna pop in the seller name. Yeah. So now I want to know who's the seller. Again, for our example, during our training, it was, what was it? It was Colossus, SSP, She Media as a seller, and then several partners inside, like Motherly, let's say. For this one, I'm going to pivot it back. So see how over here, I know it's kind of small, y'all. I'm sorry, but you got to pivot it. Like you got to play with your pivot so it can give you some of this information. So now you're pivoting and I can't even find any of my colors. So what I'm going to do is like, I'm going to filter back up based on the impression so I can see some of this information back up. Okay, boom. Okay, I don't know why Ziff is right here. Okay, anyway. So now I know like, okay, Yahoo, the ink as the almost like the highest. Again, we saw that earlier, right? Is mail. It's somebody's reading their email and stuff like that. Hold on, y'all. The report is, it's a lot of data. So, and then Watson Advertising is another one for weather.com at least. And then let's keep scrolling down to realtor.com is realtor.com. News UK is the Sun. Microsoft Private Marketplace is MSN, Microsoft MSN. So you could even combine these, I feel like. I don't know why they're separated. Maybe it's a different deal, et cetera, et cetera. So Fox, eBay, dash4people.com. So you can look at all of these and say like, okay, some of these sellers are really great. So now I'm a step it up one more and then I'm going to drop the supply vendor right on the here, I think. Let me see, where are my colors? See why color, like putting some colors onto this is so, so important. Now I see that my mail Yahoo, okay, wait, let me see. What's the easiest way? Yeah, now I know that the SSP that's performing really well for me, if I just flip it around, is Index Exchange for Yahoo, for this Yahoo at least. Google for eBay, but you know, it's only 113 impression on this one. Dot dash is not the SSP actually. Dot dash is the seller. So Criteo is, Commerce Grid is the SSP in this case, I believe. So this is how you wanna, oh wait. Let me go back to the first example I gave because now I don't know if I was looking at the right thing. All right. So the whole point, while my sheet is just like catching up with us, the whole point of you doing this is that you got to pull these additional things. So again, I made sure that I pulled the last 30. Okay. I also made sure to pull supply vendor as a dimension, seller name as a dimension, and site. Now, let's say you're using a lot of private deals. Pull the private deal. Okay, so like for the trade desk, there's one only for private deal here. Pull the private deal and add those pivoted here and there. Play around because you want to be able to like make those decisions. So what's the whole point? How do you create your toolbox, you ask? Well, it's just like that. Okay, let's just say these were millions and millions, even if it's no millions, if it's like just these few dollars, it's still dollars spent. It's up to you. It's up to you to reach out to, where is my Yahoo? Because Yahoo was the top performing one, right? To reach out to Magnite DB Plus, right? Which is Magnite, and to say, yo, the majority of my conversions for this particular brand is performing really well. What can you suggest? Magda is going to be like, oh, we can do even more for you. We can build all of that. That's how you build your tool. You start building at least. What you do, you're going to open that toolbox. It could be a CRM. It could be your note. Hopefully it's something that's shared with everybody. And then you write it down. You take a screenshot. You do whatever you want to do. You record somewhere that Magnite referred 40% of this brand conversion in this industry, in this season with this cost. Okay, so that the next brand that have similar, you know, criterias, you go straight to Magnite and be like, no joke, I ain't gonna waste no time. Give me some of those, the audience that you've been, we did here and vice versa. And then you mentioned to them that some of which is particularly Yahoo. Now, a junior trader will look at that and be like, oh, they're, you know, converting via the email. A senior trader would be like, this is different. As a senior trader, I would look at this and say, oh, mail Yahoo and Yahoo.com. This audience is probably indexing really high with their newsletter content, or let's say with their email content, right? So like they're reading their emails at any time of the day, and they're indexing high, which means they're converting high, they're interacting high, they're engaging with that. What am I gonna do? I'm a Google, I'm a LinkedIn, okay? A programmatic partner that is specific to email in newsletter, buying or serving, whatever it is. And then I'm going to get on a call with them. And then I'm going to add these people to my toolbox. That's how it is. Right now you're thinking that's very manual. Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it is. But you got to get started. If you, every time you optimize as a trader, which hopefully it is daily at least, if you remember one of these partners and add it to your toolbox, by the end of that month, you'll probably have a handful of 20. And some of those partners will be the same. Okay. So some, like say Magnite, will be like, oh, Magnite DV is great for this campaign because it had display. But I'm noticing that Magnite also has OTT and CTV, and that's also performing well. And I'm noticing that there's less MFAs when I run through these SSP. How do you notice that? At this point, the only way I can answer this is by partnering with third-party vendors. Give a shout out to Adalytics, who is happy to share his information. Reach out to Adalytics. The way Adalytics works is that he will analyze current campaign data. So whatever you're running right now, you download it for him and then you send it to him he doesn't even have to know the advertiser. He just looks at the site basically. And then he'll tell you based on how boom, 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 X amount of percentage are MFAs. These are your MFA site. These are the amount of money you spent there. Okay. And then when you receive this data, you exclude and you start doing the same thing. You go back, you pivot in your seller, you pivot in the SSP, you reach out to those two and say, according to Adalytics, for this type of campaign and this type of brand, I see that 40% of your inventory is MFA or flag that's MFA. Explain yourself. Here's the Carfax. Explain yourself. And so they're going to try to work with you. I promise you. These partners are waiting to talk to you. They're waiting to talk to you and work with you, okay? You have the upper hand because you control the pocket, okay? But ultimately, remember that the end user, which in this case is a publisher, are the ones that suffer the most based on how we optimize. But that's why going straight to some of these publishers via their SSPs, via their sellers, or again, via just them, helps eliminate some of that duplication that we mentioned. Okay. And so that's what it is. Okay. So I mentioned Adalytics. I do want to give a shout out to Jones Media, who also does that. So if you are asking like, yo, what is the difference between like Jones Media and Adalytics? So both are absolutely needed for what we do in our industry. Why am I saying this? Is because Jones Media is already doing this before you even start bidding on these sellers, these sites. So what Jones Media does is that they have, I'm really going to dumb it down because what they do is really amazing. But if I had to explain it to my five-year-old self, I would be like, they're basically just going through everything that's happening in the ecosystem, all the suppliers out there, anything that touches supply
and helping brands and advertisers decide which one is premium for real, which one is MFA. And so they are able to give you that content. So really reach out to Jones Media, Kirst Kane. And then also, if you want to reach out to Adalytics, his name is Christoph. He's Polish, so the name is written differently, but I'm happy to send all of that to y'all. If you scan this training sample, actually QR code, I can include the training samples that I showed at the beginning and this PowerPoint. So scan if you need to access the PowerPoint so I can keep track of all the demands. And then I'll make sure to add like a note about Adalytics and then Jones Media. And no, they're not, they ain't really sponsoring this. I just have worked with them and I really believe that what they're doing out there is really great. And so that's why I'm sharing their information. Okay. So we are almost at time. This is pretty much it. I do want to point out that this training can be done with your clients. Like I have several, like this is what we do. We work with ad agency trading desk, in-house teams that are trying to build their own supply and understanding how to do it efficiently. And then I'll literally work with our team. Obviously, we sign all the NDAs in the world because the difference with our training is that it's hands-on keyboard. What does that mean? It means like, because I know how SSPs work and I know them, I need to see under the hood in order for me to really, you know, to really advise you the best or train you the best way anyway. So again, Adalytics shows you what you have been doing based on what's running right now. And Jones Media does the whole thing before you even start bidding on them. So if you are planning for a big buy, reaching out to either can be a really good move for you. And yes, pay them their coins because they're working hard and they're helping you be very efficient because all of those dollars you don't know that are spending in MFAs because you are not going through this optimization exercise, not looking down to that seller, SSP, and site. You know how I pivoted earlier? Is hurting you. I mean, we went on a witch hunt last summer because the ANA report told us like, oh, snap, these are happening, okay? So let me see if there's any questions so far. The chat is not working in Restream. Maybe I need to upgrade to whatever. Maybe it's like you're using the free thing, buddy. All right, so drop your questions in the chat on LinkedIn and I'm gonna log into LinkedIn and ask your questions. And I do have about 5 more minutes to answer any questions, okay? Okay, so Anna said Smarty Ads can do wonders too. Hello, Hannah. So there's Anna and Hannah, excuse me. What's the campaign goal there? Okay, so for the particular one, I just gave an example. It was just an example. So for this example, it was D2C. We were pushing for a Mother's Day promotion kit. And then the KPI was the conversion goal. I mean, the conversion count, the highest conversion count, Anna, if that makes sense. Tasha, I miss you too. So I see a question like, can seller be called an ad network? I don't know if a seller can be called an ad network. If there's any publishers in the house, can you please let us know if y'all can be called ad network? Because if you fundamentally, if you look at the definition of it, it could be an ad network. But at the same time, like the trade desk could be started an ad network. Oops, I didn't say that out loud. Trade desk is not an ad network, but they're building direct path. Like they created open path, Kokai. Now there's this SP 500 plus, which sounded like, did anybody thought it was like a stock exchange thing at first when we heard SP 500? Anyway, so I don't think, Abhijit, I don't think that the sellers is an ad network. I just think that there are partners that have, you know, that originally those partners like She Media didn't start She Media because of programmatic. They started because of content purposes, like marketing, helping these underserved, it's called underserved media, like site and apps really, you know, get monetized, but also like increase traffic. So like She Media did not start just to be a seller for programmatic in, industry. They started, they have a bigger purpose. It's just programmatic is on top of that. Okay. So no, they're not an ad network. Is huge five usually your recommendation of, I can't remember. That was 23 minutes ago. So maybe we're talking about if you're reaching out to five supply, honestly, you will be able to decide the sweet number, but if you don't start getting at least one or two or three or five in your toolbox, you won't get that sweet number. And not all partners are supposed to work well everywhere. And not all SSPs or sites can perform or don't perform everywhere. You know what I mean? So you got to get started. And, you know, for my friends that are working with people like Chalice algorithm, Chalice can automate a lot of that. Chalice actually can help not only, it's not only performance-based, but they can help provide some of this information, like where did all these first touch cost-efficient signals happen? And then, you know, Chalice algorithm is a good one to consider. Definitely consider those partners. I mentioned Adalytics and Jones Media. Here's a shout out to minority owned media that you want to reach out to. Group Black. Shout out to Karel Cooper. Reach out to Group Black. Group Black is literally waiting for some of you traders, brands to get to them and say, like, how can we make sure to do our due diligence and target that type of underserved, again, traffic or underserved minority outside of targeting BET? Okay. And yes, and that was Shade. But Black Enterprises, Blevity, again, all of those sellers did not start for programmatic, but now we can reach out to some of them via direct or private marketplaces. Some of them even are on the open exchange. You'll have to ask those questions. So I mentioned Group Black, I mentioned Black Enterprises, Blevity, shout out to Bomisi, which I had Christopher Johnson, one of their co-founder on the podcast last month, which is December. And we'll have Ronisha very soon too, which is the other co-founder, and she's phenomenal. She Media is a good one to start with, but there's like, for instance, I am Black and I identify as a Black person. So I'm very, very, very much focused on Black and minority owned media and how to reach out to it. And that's why I'm throwing them out. But I may have missed a queer focused one. I may have missed a Asian focused one, a Latino focused one. It's up to you to do your due diligence. Latinas or Latinx, Hispanic, I would reach out to Canela Media. Canela, which is also offers streaming, right? So all of these is like, let's start bridging some of this relationship, y'all. Like, they're waiting for us to reach out. Okay. All right. So we're on time. Okay. So let me just review real quick. Oh, whoa. There's 21 comments here. Let me make sense that. So what's the Kimple goal? Okay. Anna just answered that. Thank you, Hannah, for being here for Mary Joy. Tasha. Abhijit, the answer, Tasha, about the five usual reco. Yeah, bring your receipts. When one of those partners reach out to you, tell them to show them the receipt. Like, a salesperson is going to reach out to you. Be kind to them because, you know, like, that's their job, you know, and salespeople are educators as well. So be kind to my peoples, but also like, remember that it is super important to ask questions such as like, yo, what are you doing? How are you gathering this? What is in front of that? Right. And so if I go back to my deck really quick, let me see if I was done. Actually, I think I was done. Was I not done? There it is. Okay. Can somebody help me? All right, so that was the live example we just did. Okay, yeah, there you go. Another, so you do have the QR code to request, but if you want to get on a call directly with me, y'all, just book, just scan this as well, because then you can talk to me and then I can give you a little bit more in terms of like my recommendation. Again, if you scan the first QR, which is the training sample QR, I'll send you the deck. Or if you just book the call too, I can send you the deck. I work. So we have quite a few people that work for DSPs, ad tech, and all that stuff. So, okay. So I don't see any more questions. Let me find YouTube here to make sure that everything is well. Well, thank you so much. This was great. Again, we do a lot of these trainings for our partners. If you want to become a partner, whether it's hiring us to do more of these workshops internally. Another thing that I didn't even get a chance to get to is that giving you a good update on how the industry shifting, like cookie-less future or CTV is shifting our, child, is shifting everything, but it's not impossible. But like no matter what, whether you we all have cookies or IDs or whatever it is out there in these streets, you still got to start building this these toolbox. And here's the last thing I'll leave you with, okay? Like my word of wisdom, I guess, is that you are seeing tech companies, ad tech companies, SSPs, you're seeing brands cut out that middleman and going straight into it. We're even seeing SSPs. I just read an SSP yesterday. Which one was that? I can't remember, but an SSP creating something direct so that they will go directly to brands and not have to go via the DSP. So at this point, just start by servicing your client. Based on the clients you're servicing, based on the KPI objectives, all that, all the above, look at what where you're spending. Follow the money, okay? And if there are questions, reach out to those people. And if you don't have, I'm happy to make referrals. I know quite a few of these partners. I've loved to work with them, love to hate and work with them again. but also, please remember to always, you know, show them the receipt, like show me your receipts and then tell them this is not working. We got to be working. We don't have points to waste like that. Okay. All right. Go be great. Thank you so much. Grace over guilt. It's a lot going on out there. Take a breather. I commend you for betting on yourself and just joining a LinkedIn Live on a Thursday during lunch. Go walk around, jump, do some jumping jacks, hug a pet, sing to a plant, do whatever you need to just get those juices back and flowing inside of you. And then I'm here if you need anything. All right, cool. All right, cool. Holla. That's the weirdest ending ever.